Bem-vindos ao Antes Tech do que Nunca. Eu sou a Gabriela Agostini, eu estou aqui diretamente da Expo Center Norte em São Paulo, onde está rolando o Universo TOTS 2023, o maior evento de tecnologia e negócios do Brasil. Para vocês terem uma ideia, mais de 10 mil pessoas são esperadas por aqui nesses dois dias de evento, que está bem bacana, discussões bem animadas, estou aprendendo muito. E esse episódio especialíssimo, ele recebe ninguém menos do que a Dr. Sion Proctor, que é a primeira mulher afro-americana a pilotar uma nave espacial. Ela conversa com o CEO da RDA Station, o Juliano Tubino, e ele é quem vai comandar esse episódio. Então, aqui convido a vocês para ouvirem esse papo, que foi realmente bem incrível, não perde. Fiquem aí, assistam o programa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Juliano Tubino, I'm the CEO of RD Station, and I just left the stage from Universo TOTS with Dr. Sion Proctor, where we talked a lot about a lot of things, so we're just gonna continue our conversation here. Dr. Sion, she's an astronaut, she's a scientist, an artist, an advocate of inclusion and diversity, and whether on Earth or in the stars, and she will tell us what is essential. To pack for your life, to pack for space, and we will continue our conversation. So thank you so much for being here with us. And I would just like to start asking you, is this your first time here in Brazil, or you already saw us from space?
First, I want to say thank you for having me. And this is my second time visiting Brazil, where my feet are on the ground, but I definitely saw Brazil from space.
Wow, that should be amazing. So, I think everybody one day already thought or dreamt about being an astronaut, right? And flying on a spaceship when we were kids. How does it feel to actually be an astronaut? And how does it actually feel during the liftoff?
You know, it, to some extent, it's kind of like a dream, because it's one thing if you get selected as a NASA career astronaut. A lot of times you train for years before you fly, and being a commercial astronaut means that timeline is shortened significantly. And so I found out that I was going to go to space in March of 2021. And then flew to space in September of 2021. And so it was a really compressed time of training and then flying. So, and now that it's passed, it's kind of like, did that really happen? You know, you have all these amazing memories from the training and liftoff and being in space and splashdown, but now it's in your past and you're like, whoa, oh, how cool is this? And so I often think about how fortunate I am to have had this significant event come into my life. But what it feels like is it's hard to describe, because a lot of times people ask me, is it like a roller coaster where you're falling and there's no falling sensation whatsoever? You know, the first thing is when you're lifting up in the rocket, you get the thrust back. But 10 minutes later, you're in space and you notice that your hands, they just float. There's nothing you need. You don't do anything. Now, the most interesting thing is sleeping, right? Because a lot of times when we think about, well, how do you sleep? We were up there for 3 days, so we slept three nights in space. And the most interesting part is you don't need a pillow. You don't need a pillow to go to sleep, because there's no weight. Your head doesn't fall off to the side. It just stays suspended. So you literally have a sleeping bag that you tether to your sleep. You tether a sleeping bag to your seat, and then you slide in it so that you don't move around the capsule while you're sleeping. And then you slide into your little sleeping bag, and you're floating, and your head just stays wherever it is.
That's so amazing.
It is, because it's hard to wrap our mind around it, because we're so used to gravity and everything falling in. And when you're in this microgravity or zero gravity, you can float in any orientation and there's no weight upon you. And it's really liberating.
That's so, so interesting, fascinating. And one of the things that I don't know if everybody knows about you and your story is that you kind of grew with some sort of influence, right, of space programs because of your father. and you went through a process of submitting your application to become an astronaut, went through the entire process, and at 38 years old, you got a no.
Yeah.
Right onto the last stage of the process, and then against all odds, at 51 years old, then you became an astronaut, right?
It is.
I don't want to summarize this journey, but what an amazing journey this was.
It really has been. And, you know, I think back to my earliest memories, and my parents had a big influence on me. If you've seen the movie Hidden Figures, it's about, you know, African-Americans in space, particularly these women who helped advance human spaceflight. Well, my dad was a hidden figure, you know, and that and my parents had college degrees. And my dad, self-taught mathematician, really good enough to be picked up to be able to be at the NASA tracking station on Guam during the Apollo mission. So my family was there from 1966 to 1970, including Apollo 11.
Wow.
And so, and I consider myself a moon celebration baby because I was born 8.5 months after Neil Armstrong took those famous steps on the moon. And I'm the youngest of four. So I'm like, oh, my parents celebrated, you know. And the idea of my dad being able to be a part of that, he was very proud of being that a part of, you know, human spaceflight and that historical moment. So he left the space industry soon after I was born and went into computers. But I grew up with NASA memorabilia to my dad on his wall, including Neil Armstrong's autograph. And Neil Armstrong, a lot of people don't know this, but Neil Armstrong did not like to give out his autograph. So he didn't do it often. And when he came to the Guam tracking station, not only did he give my dad his autograph, but he thanked him for the help that he did while he was on Guam, because it was significant what my dad did.
Oh, I can imagine. Wow. So in coming back to the, because I thought that was fascinating, your description about sleeping. I honestly never thought about it, right?
I didn't think about it either. Like, I knew that astronauts floated when they slept in space. But the whole idea of not even thinking about I needed a pillow, like, it didn't even enter my mind. It was just kind of like, oh, okay.
And what about food and the relationship with the other astronauts? How was it difficult?
It was fantastic. We got along so well. And I really feel fortunate that I got to go to space with such amazing individuals. Food and eating in space is a lot of fun. Okay. First of all, there's no issues with like chewing and swallowing and things like that, but your digestive system does slow down, so it doesn't travel as fast through you. But there's nothing more fun than having my commander, Jared Isaacman, loves M&Ms. So we had enough M&Ms to go around and to toss an M&M at somebody. And so if I was here and I wanted to toss you an M&M, a lot of times you would think about going like that. But in microgravity, going like that means it turns into almost like a bullet. It goes right at you. So you really just do this, a little bit of energy, and it will float over to you. And then you catch it in your mouth. Yes, exactly. And then SpaceX was very accommodating. Most of the time when you go to space, the nutrition is a big thing. Astronauts lose weight. Food doesn't taste exactly the same, so they're really like health conscious of what you can eat. And so they tried to give us really healthy food, but it was food that we normally wouldn't eat, and we completely rebelled against it. And we ended up having pizza and like BLT sandwiches. And my commander was like, it's 3 days in space. It's like going camping. Give us all the junk that we want to eat. And they did. SpaceX did.
That's cool. That's super cool. You mentioned as well that the actual space of the cabin, it's pretty tight, right?
It is.
Small. And mm-hmm. I can imagine that taking food and some of the equipment...
takes up a lot of space.
What else you can actually take with you? It should be super essential, right?
You know, it really should be. But what was great about our mission is because we weren't docking with the International Space Station. Instead, we were doing a free flyer mission. That means that we were just in our capsule by ourselves, floating, or, you know, going around the Earth. it meant that we didn't have a weight restriction. So we had to some extent a volume restriction in that, you know, we had to carry all of our essentials, our food, water, and all of that. And that's kind of packed into these little cubbies all around the spacecraft. But SpaceX basically said, here's a duffel bag for you to take personal items to space. Now, to put it in perspective, NASA astronauts maybe can take like a handful of stuff, really small stuff. That's all that they get to take to space. We got a duffel bag. And I can tell you, I packed that duffel bag full of everything I can think of. I brought things from my friends, my family. I brought artwork from students. I brought things that I had when I was a child that I wanted to bring to space. And it was a real gift to be able to do that.
And how was your thought process on deciding what would go and what would not?
Because that was really difficult. How do you really like decide from your entire life what you bring to space? So I thought about the things that made me who I am. And so I had collected Star Wars and Star Trek memorabilia from when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. So they had comic books, Star Wars comic books that I got when I was a kid, and trading cards that I got when I was a kid. Mm. And I had been carrying these things around with me for 40 years. And the funny thing is, I brought them with me to space because I had this this little box that had all of these trading cards and all of these comic books, and I almost got rid of them. Right before COVID, I gave to my friend who was a big comic book collector, and I said, I've been carrying these around my entire life. I don't know why. And he said to me, no, maybe you should hold on to it. And I kept them. And then Inspiration 4 came along, and I realized I've been carrying these with me every move, everywhere, my entire life, so that I could bring them to space, so that I could celebrate the way Star Wars and Star Trek influenced me to want to go to the stars.
I think it's such an interesting concept that you just said, because sometimes when we think about what is essential, we think about practicality.
Absolutely.
And suddenly you are bringing with you the things that made who you are.
Yep.
And right? So
I brought family photos. You know, neither of my parents got to see me achieve this because they both passed away. So it was really important to me, like, how do I bring them with me? So I brought photos of them. I brought photos of my siblings with me to space. I brought a birthday card my mother had given me that was a beautiful card. And I was like, I'm going to bring this because this was something, my mom's way of expressing her love to me. And so little things like that become treasured items.
Right.
And that's why we keep them, right? That's why we put them in boxes and carry them wherever we go with every move.
And those mementos of the past became the mementos of your future, because you are always now will remember that those things were with you.
They do. They are so significant for me. But, you know, you also want to bring everybody you can along on this journey. So I made sure that all of my family and friends gave me something that was special to them. A lot of times it was small, like maybe a watch, or one of my friends works for the airlines, American Airlines, so I flew her wings. Another friend gave me jewelry or necklace, just little things. And then students that I've worked with, bringing art and poetry from students.
It's so nice. I cannot stop thinking about, I came from a family that we moved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but we moved for 13 different places before I was 18. Then after I grew up, almost the same thing. This is a constant in my life. And there are a few things that are always with me.
Yeah.
And those are also the ones that represent me and made me
who I am. Those are the things that you'd want to bring with you.
It makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. So cool. And after the Inspiration 4, the mission, and you had this crazy and amazing experience of going to space, then you created the Proctor Foundation, right, for art and science. And what is exactly the foundation?
The Proctor Foundation for Art and Science is my nonprofit. I really wanted to figure out a way that I could give back and inspire. And so I decided that I've been a community college professor my entire life. And so 23 years in a community college system, I don't know if you have the same in Brazil, but it's basically the 2 years of college in trade school. And it's a special place. You know, what makes it special is that we have a wide range of ages. So we've got kids that are just coming out of high school that will go to the community college. But then we have, you know, seasoned adults who have been out of school and now might be in their 40s, 50s, 60s, wanting to re-career or to take on a new challenge. And they're there in the classroom. And so a real diverse group of students that I have to educate. And a lot of times, your community college doesn't, it gets overlooked. A lot of resources go to K-12 in the United States, and a lot of resources go to the university. And so the community college is kind of the overlooked hidden gem of education. And I wanted to give these students and these faculty members and staff members something special. So the Proctor Foundation specifically targets community college faculty, staff, and students, and I send them to Space Camp. And so they go for a weekend during the summer because a lot of these students are working. A lot of them have families. They can't take a lot of time off. And so I send them for a weekend to Space Camp where they get to learn what it's like to be an astronaut. And what's fun about it is I specifically target Black, Indigenous, or people of color who are art and humanities majors. I won my seat to space as an artist and a poet, even though I'm a trained geoscientist. So I am the typical person that would be selected to go to NASA to space because I'm in a STEM field. These are people who cannot apply to be NASA astronauts, and they never would have thought of themselves going to space. But now space is changing, and we need everybody to be a part of it. And I want them to know that they have a place in space. And so by bringing art and humanities majors and BIPOC students and faculty, people who look like me, giving them the opportunity to say, look, this can be a part of your life too.
It's amazing. I think you touched a point that, and we talked about this earlier, and if we had someone, a typical astronaut, telling his story or her story here at this event, it would be a super interesting story. But having you with your poetry, with your persistent story, made it everything so much richer. And I think it's so easy for us to abstract the concept of diversity, right?
Yes.
And the importance of this, almost like connections that you are now able to make because the story is diverse.
Exactly. Right? You know, you think about, again, like your history and my history, I grew up moving a lot also, you know? And it's been a constant theme of my life. And then all of the challenges of like how to make your dreams come true, particularly in the United States. We have a lot of challenges when it comes to diversity and equity. Coming into COVID, we had the whole Black Lives Matters movement, and thinking about how it's unfortunate that people of color can easily be killed in the United States because of the color of your skin. And so how do we get a voice at the table when it comes to the advancement of human spaceflight? How do I make it known that I'm not going to be the last? I may be the first Black woman to pilot a spacecraft, but I won't be the last one. And we do that because when you come back, you have a responsibility to continue to inspire and engage and open up access. And because now that I have a seat at the table, I have to recruit active allies. I have to find the people who have the power and have the access. And I have to remind them that the goal is to create that Jedi space. You know what I say to them? I say, do you remember when you were a kid and you watched Star Trek? And they're like, yes. And then you love Star Trek? Well, why did you love Star Trek? Because it was a diverse crew that was boldly going where no one has gone before. And we want to create that. And then they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, we want, it's a Jedi space. It's a Star Wars acronym with a Star Trek meaning.
That's so cool. And just coming back, I was blown away by your poem and the way that, again, could connect connect the feeling of an individual, connecting the feeling of the collective, a group of individuals, the dream, the pursuits, the reason, an underlying reason on why we do things differently. I thought it was amazing. How was your process of becoming an artist, right? You mentioned that you started this during the pandemic.
Yes.
But what are your influences? How do you develop your line?
You know, it's really interesting because my mom passed away in 2018. My dad a long time ago when I was 19. But my mom, you know, I'd had a long, rich life with my mom. And so when she passed away, it was this ache inside. And I remember when going to her house where she lived and cleaning out her stuff. And I found a shoebox, a literal shoebox filled with postcards that I had sent her from around the world. She had kept every single postcard I had sent her from my earliest time traveling. And that really hit me. And so then when we went into the pandemic in 2020, April is when I lost my mom. And we went into lockdown. In the U.S., we went into lockdown in March of 2020. And then April was the anniversary of my mom's passing. And so I decided that I was going to send cheer around the world through social media by sending out postcards. And postcards that I bought of scientists, of astronomy, just things. And I'd go on social media and be like, I'm going to give away postcards. Who wants one? So I sent out hundreds of postcards to people all over around the world. And somebody said to me, probably around May or June, how about a postcard from you? Where's your own postcard with your own art on it? And I was like, I'm not an artist. And then I thought, well, am I? I can do collage art. So I started cutting out and buying stickers and sticking them on postcard size paper and putting it together and sharing it on social media. And people were like, these are really good. So I started off as a collage postcard artist. And then I thought, well, if I can do postcards, maybe I can paint. And so I started painting. And then I thought, oh, well, maybe I can do digital art. And it's just evolved into this thing. And what was interesting is that people wanted me to send my art on these postcards, but I didn't want to hand write a note to everybody. So I decided to put a poem on the back about the meaning of the art on the front of the postcard. And that's how the poetry and the art got merged together, is that every time I did a new art piece, I would write a poem representing how I felt about this piece. And then when the contest came along, I thought, well, I'm going to do it as an artist and a poet. I tried to be a NASA astronaut as a geoscientist. I found my authentic voice through art and poetry. I'm going to share that with them. And then in the middle of the night, Space to Inspire, my poem came to me, and I literally just wrote it out. And I was like, wow, I don't know what I'm channeling, but this is my poem. And I did my video. I shot it about 50 times.
It was epic. Because it was the, I think that the, a strong definition again of diversity, not just your ethnicity, not just your gender, not just your STEM-D background,
but yes,
suddenly you were mixing
everything together.
Everything. And it shows how rich a person can be in that sense, right?
Absolutely.
It was amazing.
And that's one of the things, you know, when I talk about these themes of like Space to Inspire and letting people know that Space to Inspire is not about outer space. It really is about your space, your unique space. There'll only ever be one of you. And how you use your space matters. And getting people to really value their space and how they can use it to inspire themselves and those around them.
Do you know, if I was the judge, mm-hmm, that would elect someone, the reason why I would choose you, because I think everyone would be able to relate. Would be able
you.
To find a little bit of themselves in you. Either the search for the dream, and the poetry, whatever. You were this collage.
That's exactly.
Was on point.
And that's one of the things that my entire life I had been working on. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've done so much in my life, is that it enables me to relate to people. My dad, when I was a kid, was worried about me. He would call me, there's a famous saying called, Jack of all trades, master of nothing. So he would always say, Sai, you're going to end up a jack of all trades, master of nothing. You really need to buckle down and like dive deep into something, because I was so eclectic. I would do this and then this and this and this because I loved everything. And years later, if my dad was still alive, I would say to him, I'd say, Dad, I'm actually a jack of all, jack of all opportunities, master of life experiences.
Yeah.
So I take opportunities and I make them into these amazing life experiences so that I can relate to a wide variety of people, particularly as a student, as a teacher. You want to connect with your students, and having, you know, ways of relating to them and connecting is so important.
Well, so flight to space, check. Proctor Foundation of Art and Science,
check.
What's next for you?
For me, you know, I am going out and I'm using my voice and my platform to continue to inspire and share my message, because I think that's important.
Please do.
And then I also, I'm continuing to develop myself as an artist and a poet. And I have an ex-arts fellowship with Arizona State University. I'm in a fabrication lab creating, I went from postcard size art to gallery size art. And so I'm now making the biggest pieces I've ever made, and I'm using that to hopefully also inspire.
There's a show coming on.
I'm working on it, yes.
Cool. You definitely, I think you're a symbol for women, maybe even further for Black women.
Mm-hmm.
Any message that you would like to share with them?
You know, I think one of the big things is that I really love trying to inspire the next generation of artists and explorers, but I'm also very passionate about inspiring what I call seasoned individuals, people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond, that it's never too late to go after your dreams. And I'm proof of that, to be able to go to space in my 50s the way that I did. And I think that that's really important. When I've been walking, there are times when I've walked down the streets, New York City, you know, dressed in my normal clothes, nobody would know me. And this seasoned, older Black woman comes running up to me. And she's like, I saw you on that documentary, and I just want you to know that you changed my life, that I saw you, and that made an impact on me.
How amazing is that?
Right? And for her to have this now new profound way of thinking about herself, her space, and what she can do even as a seasoned individual is super important, particularly in a world where jobs change and we have to re-career, and really inspiring people that, yeah, you can take on those challenges, invest in lifelong learning, and go for it. Don't be afraid to go out and take advantage of that.
We are living longer. We're seeing more opportunities. So absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go on. This is great. So, Dr. Cyan Proctor, thank you so much for your time with us. It was an honor to talk with you during this stage right here on a more personal chat. And I just want to thank you so much for your presence and your contribution to all of us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a fantastic experience. I feel so fortunate to be here in your beautiful country, and I can't wait to come back again.
Yeah, we sure do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's great.
Bom, espero que vocês tenham gostado desse papo. É realmente muito inspirador, uma honra ouvir a história dela e acompanhar essa reflexão toda. Espero que vocês tenham aprendido tanto quanto eu aprendi. E fica aqui o convite para vocês já se organizarem para o Universo TOTS 2024. Está logo aí, daqui num ano. Se organiza, venham. E não deixa de ouvir os outros episódios feitos especialmente aqui nesse Expocenter Norte, no Universo TOTS 2023. Compartilhe esse episódio com os amigos. Segue o Antes Tech do que Nunca nas redes. A TOTS nas redes também, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. E você pode acessar todos os episódios do Antes Tech do que Nunca na plataforma podcast.totos.com. É isso, até a próxima!